Welcome to Brad Kyle's Brad's Motorworks podcast. We'll be talking about some things about BMW, some things of cars in general, and some things about car repair. I hope you find it educational, enlightening, and I hope it increases your understanding of your car. And maybe along the way we'll have some fun too. Thank you for listening, and here we go. Episode number 71, Automotive Steering Systems. In this one, I'm going to really kind of start off with the basics and start off with steering systems that were, let's say, in the early 60s and even before, and take us up through, what's available all the way up to today as far as different kinds of steering systems, and whether they be hydraulically pressure assisted to all the way through to a pure electric ones. So here we go. Okay. Cars started out with manual type steering in the early 60s and even before. And what I mean by that is that the components were all the same, but there was no power assist. So whatever effort it took to move the front wheels through the steering system was all on you as far as manually by turning the steering wheel. Typically, those cars had actually bigger steering wheels than we typically have today, which of course helped with the, reducing the amount of actual effort required to move the steering wheel. If you have a bigger wheel, it's easier to move it. Okay, so the steering system in most cars consists of the steering wheel, the steering column, what's called the steering coupler, the steering gear, power steering pump and hoses, and the actual steering linkage itself. Okay. There's two different types of steering gearboxes typically used in today's world, and one of them is hardly ever used at all anymore. The first one is what's called a recirculating ball type, okay, which would be a steering gearbox. And the second one, which is way, way more prevalent and used in almost all cars today, is what's called a rack and pinion steering unit. And I'll, describe these better here in a few minutes. The recirculating ball type is basically a box where there's fastened inside of it a worm gear drive that contains many ball bearings. These ball bearings loop around the worm drive into a recirculating channel, hence the name recirculating ball type steering gearbox. So they go through this recirculating channel, and then they end up back into the worm drive. Okay. The remainder of the steering components on this style, a circulating ball gearbox, typically is what's called the pitman arm, which attaches from the gearbox to typically the center link. The center link itself, what's called an idler arm, which helps provide stiffness in the steering linkage, and it also helps keeps the center link properly level. Okay, and then of course you have your tie rod assemblies, which connect the center link to the what's called the steering spindle. Which that's at each front wheel, and that's what rotates vertically on a vertical axis, and ultimately that's where your brakes and your front tires mount off of. Okay. A rack and pinion steering type is where the steering shaft is connected to a pinion gear that is connected to a rack, in other words a horizontal rack that has teeth in it, which the rack moves in a linear motion, in other words back and forth horizontal to the ground. Whereas where the steering shaft comes through into the rack and pinion steering unit and there's a pinion gear on the end of it, just think of a flat piece of metal that has teeth in it pointed upward, okay, and again, this is inside the rack and pinion steering unit, and the pinion gear, which comes in at an angle from the steering column, okay, connects or interacts with that rack unit, hence the name rack and pinion steering, okay. So that moves in a linear motion. Additional steering components in that kind of a system typically are just really the tie rod assemblies, okay, which connect the end of the rack to, again, the steering spindles. And, of course, that's how you get the movement of the front wheels back and forth as far as steering is concerned. The rack and pinion steering unit is a much, much simpler and way more direct operation type of a system. Okay, it takes up less space. There's less components. It typically actually is much more accurate, so to speak. Okay, there's a more kind of a direct type of a feeling as far as steering feedback with a rack and pinion steering unit versus a recirculating ball type. Again, just technology marches on, and it's a much, much better design. So you know, again, the vast majority of cars today have some kind of a rack and pinion steering unit. So as far as power assist, there's three different types typically of power assist systems. One would be considered hydraulic power system, which is that the power steering pump, which pumps power steering fluid, in other words, it's a hydraulic pump, is driven by engine power through the pump. Okay. It requires and draws power from the engine, and it's running all of the time. Okay, so even if you're going straight down the road, now granted, you're not going to need hardly any power assist, and the systems, depending upon how elaborate they are, what normally happens is as the engine speed increases, in other words, as your engine speed and vehicle speed increases, and this is assuming that most of the time, let's face it, you're traveling in a straight line, there's less assist required. So even though the pump is running all the time and it's running at higher engine speeds as you're driving down the road, there's some kind of a pressure regulating device as part of the hydraulic pump system, typically, that is actually regulating or reducing the pressure coming from the pump at higher engine speeds, because the bottom line is you don't need additional assist. At lower engine speeds, which usually means also lower vehicle speeds, like in parking lots and things like that, you would actually want and need a much higher pressure to make it easier to turn the steering wheel and like parking maneuvers and stuff like that. So typically the way this system is set up is that at lower engine speeds, which again means normally lower vehicle speeds, you get more assist from the power steering system. But the bottom line is that that pump is running all the time. It's belt driven. It's run directly off of the engine some way, whether it's through the crankshaft pulley or whatever the case may be. Okay. Another system, type of system, is what's called electric over hydraulic. And this is where an electric pump drives the hydraulic pump. Excuse me, an electric motor drives the hydraulic pump, the power steering pump. So now it can be commanded on and off, okay? It's not run directly off the engine. So now the engineers have the option of being able to, you know, have it connected to the engine management system. And so it will see that, hey, we're going straight down the road. We don't need to have the pump running. Let's just shut it off, okay? Or run it at a much, much reduced RPM and load. So what happens is that since the engine's not being used to partly drive the steering pump, then you gain fuel mileage and lower emissions, which, of course, you know, is certainly a good thing, and it's something that the engineers are always looking for ways to do. The last type is what's called, it's a purely electric type of pump system, okay? There's no real pump per se other than that it's internal within the steering gearbox. So essentially, it would be considered basically electric steering, okay? It's all self-contained within the rack and pinion steering unit. So this way, there's no external pump. There's no hoses, okay? There's a lot fewer things to go wrong as far as, well, again, there's no pump, external pump. There's no hoses. There's no reservoir. It's all self-contained within the rack and pinion steering unit. The downside to it is that if something happens to that unit, if it starts to leak or something like that, the cost to replace it, of course, is much more substantial because you're essentially replacing more components because everything is self-contained within that unit. Okay. So far, in my experience, as far as with BMWs, it seems to be a pretty reliable unit. But you know, the bottom line is the car came with whatever the car came with. Okay. Certainly, most of the cars out there today are still kind of the first system I was talking about, where there's an engine-driven pump, there's hoses, and so on and so forth. But, you know, it's up to the designers, obviously, but cars are certainly moving to where it's either an electrically-driven pump or all completely self-contained, and it's purely... there's no hydraulic pump from the standpoint of external of the steering gearbox. So like I say, the advantage of the pure electric type is that there is no belts or hoses or an external pump to leak, okay? So, you know, again, less things to go wrong, but potentially costly if and when something does go wrong with that unit, okay? The latest designs in regards to steering systems are what's called steer-by-wire or drive-by-wire, and this is where there is no mechanical connection between the steering wheel and the steering system. Okay, I mentioned earlier about a, you know, steering wheel, steering column, steering shaft, steering coupler. Basically, the steering shaft and the steering coupler, and in some respects, parts of the steering column are gone. Okay, they're no longer needed. Because when you turn that steering wheel, you're actually basically turning some sort of a rotational sensor that sees, in other words, it's an electronic part. So it sees what it is you're commanding, and it therefore goes through, you know, some type of computer system, whatever the case may be, and ultimately it goes to the rack and pinion steering unit, and it based on, again, on, you know, different criteria and data, engine speed, vehicle speed, you know, how how quickly you're moving the steering wheel, so on and so forth, it electronically drives a motor, which then turns the pinion gear in the rack and pinion steering unit, and the car steers. The thing that's a little bit interesting on it, of course, is that because there's no mechanical connection, the system has to try to substitute a steering wheel feedback type of you know, feedback back to you. So in other words, you don't want to have it to where you can just, you know, there's no road feel to the steering. There's no, you just can, you know, twist it around with your finger and there's no feedback. That would not be a good thing. It may sound like it'd be a good thing because you're thinking, wow, this is really super easy to steer. The problem is that there's no feedback from the road or through the steering system. So they actually have to artificially produce that, okay, which there's some cars that's been done reasonably well. There's others that, to me, in my mind, it leaves something to be, you know, something to be desired. I have driven certainly relatively late model BMWs that have active steering. And the thing I don't like about it, it's really great in low speed and parking lot type of maneuvering, because you turn the steering wheel a little bit and the car moves quite a bit as far as steering, and it's very easy to steer. Okay, it's what's called active steering. And of course, as you get up in vehicle speed, if you turn the steering wheel the same amount as what you did at lower speed, the wheels don't turn as much, which makes sense. Okay, the downside to it is that this ratio obviously is not linear. In other words, at lower vehicle speeds, if you turn the steering wheel, let's just say 10 degrees, you might get, this is hypothetical, but you might get 15 or 20 degrees of wheel movement at the front wheels. Okay, so in other words, again, at lower vehicle speeds, it's much more sensitive, and it's easier to steer the car because you don't have to move the steering wheel as much. The downside to it is that anyone that, you know, is really interested in driving the car and is a, you know, they want a driver's car type of a thing, because that steering effect is not linear, it's a weird feeling. It really is. Most people, I think they probably like the fact that it has active steering. I personally, myself, I'll put it to you this way. When I'm pulling cars into my shop and pulling them through where the vertical uprights for my lift is, I have to be really careful. Okay, because if I move the steering wheel a little bit, the car moves quite a bit as far as steering is concerned. So I don't particularly like it, but that's just my own personal opinion. If I was to buy a car, a newer one, I would not, personally myself, I would not want to have active steering, but that's me. I'm sure there's lots of people out there that you know, really love it, but I would not be one of them. Okay. So, like I say, there's systems that are completely electronic. The thing about having a purely electronic system, because you don't have to have a steering shaft or steering coupler, and for that matter, the steering column itself, really the only reason it needs to be there is to support the steering wheel. So what this does is it frees up space inside the car. This would be like kind of like, let's say, below the dash, between your legs. Normally there's obviously a steering column, and that takes up space. The dash has to surround it and cover it. If there's no steering column or steering shaft, it frees up that space for the interior designers to do other things. And it also potentially can change or free up as far as their design parameters they can use in regards to designing the actual dashboard itself. Okay, so for them, they look at it as it's a positive. Okay, the other thing is that regardless of what kind of steering system the car has, all of those different components, those mechanical components I mentioned, you know, tie rod ends and idler arm and center tie rod link and pitman arm and so on and so forth, the racket pinion steering unit, all those things, because they are mechanical in some way or another, that is stuff that needs to be, should be and needs to be checked from time to time. This would normally be done either during some sort of a main, you know, full vehicle check, like a safety check kind of a thing. But all those components need to be checked at least yearly in my mind, and maybe even every 6 months, especially as the car gets older, or if you live in, you know, foul weather country, whether it be, you know, snow, ice type stuff. Okay. excuse me. That stuff all needs to be checked for wear and tear, because what you want to do is catch it before you start getting looseness in any of those components. Any looseness in the system means that you have to turn the steering wheel that much a little bit further to take up that play. And it also means that you could potentially be, you know, losing your alignment, because it means that the front wheels are allowed to be able to kind of move when they're not supposed to be. Okay, if there's play or looseness in any of those components. You know, again, tie rod end or idler arm, pitman arm, whatever the case may be. And so, you know, obviously that needs to be caught and taken care of before it becomes a real problem. I mean, I've had cars come in where people were complaining, yeah, my steering feels like really loose. You know, it's just the car kind of wants to wander when it's going straight down the road. I'm having to constantly correcting for it because sometimes it'll go a little bit to the left or it'll go a little bit to the right. And frankly, I can road test a car and tell pretty quickly, hey, there's definitely something wrong here. This is too loose. And then it's obviously up to me to put it up in the air and find out, well, where is the play? Sometimes it's not even necessarily in the steering system. It could be like in a ball joint, which could be, you know, as part of the suspension. Okay. And so, you know, again, it's looking over the suspension and steering and finding these different possible worn components and then, you know, figuring up an estimate and advising the customer accordingly. Just real quick in regards to, again, parts that are wearing out, you know, again, it affects the alignment on the car. Okay, so you can start getting adverse tire wear, so on and so forth. So it, in the interest of keeping you safe, having a car that's safe to drive and reliable, and that you can, you know, drive and steer properly and safely to where it does what it's supposed to do. Certainly preventative maintenance and having these different vehicle checkups done in a timely manner definitely does pay dividends in a lot of different ways. You know, it's about your safety and the safety of the people in the car with you and everyone around you. It's about fuel mileage. It's about tire wear. You know, all these different things can be potentially affected by a component in the steering system that is worn out or getting, you know, to where it's got play or looseness in it. So real important to have that stuff checked out. And it's not, if it's done by, you know, a professional shop that knows what they're doing. These are all things that can be caught and obviously brought to your attention. And then you decide how you want to proceed from there. So that was kind of a quickie on the steering system. You know, there's been a lot of advancements with them in some degree or another. You know, like I say, the rack and pinion steering unit has been around since about the late 70s, early 80s. So the advancements with it are more of the control of it, really. You know, for a lot of years, you know, before we had rack and pinion, it was almost all recirculating ball gearboxes. But rack and pinion was definitely a big advancement when it came out, and you know, it's still around. So obviously, it was a good design, and it is a good design. But they have certainly played around with the auxiliary parts of it as far as power assist and so on and so forth. So that's where we are. I hope that makes some sense for you and that kind of cleared up or maybe educated a little bit about the steering system and its importance. And I hope you, you know, take care of your car in that regard. So appreciate you listening. As usual, if you want to get a hold of me via email, it's bkpodcasts5@gmail.com. I'm also on LinkedIn. And again, you know, I am the owner and technician at Brad's Motor Works in Newbury Park, California. So if you want to, got a couple different web pages, if you want to check them out, appreciate it. And for that matter, if you're ever, you know, in the area, Newbury Park, Southern California, whatever, you know, stop by, give me a call, and maybe we can visit or something if you happen to be in the area. So I appreciate you listening. Appreciate you taking the time. I hope this has helped increase your knowledge of your car. And have a great day and a fantastic tomorrow. And thank you again. Thank you for listening to this episode. It's been an honor and a privilege to spend time with you. I hope you found this of value. Please share it with family and friends. Above all else, with all you're getting, get understanding. May God bless you and keep you. And thank you again.